Prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. This is Primetime Sports with a man who cannot tell a lie. Bob McCown. Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Here we go. Last hour. Ready to go, Shannon?
All set.
McCown here, Shannon there. For this Thursday, the 27th of November, 2014, it's Primetime Sports. Brad Treliving will join us in a little bit, the general manager of the Calgary Flames, as they just keep trudging along. And we'll ask him about...
They were very good last night, Bob. They were very good last night.
Well, they've been good most nights.
Yeah.
You know, good enough.
No, they were, last night, whew, they were impressive in San Jose. I know you don't stay up that late, so.
No, I don't.
I do.
Well, you have to.
I know, that's a good point. Good point by you.
Glenn Healy of the NHL and Sportsnet joins us. Heels was in Pittsburgh last night for the Leafs against the Penguins. How are you, Heels?
Wonderful. Got a great seat last night for a pretty dynamic hockey game. Watching some pretty dynamic players. That Malkin is just something else.
I think he'll stick.
Yeah, I think he'll be okay.
What did the Leafs get out of last night's tie/loss?
I think they dealt with some adversity. It could have easily been one of those games that went to 6-0. When you play Pittsburgh and you try to open it up. It could have went the other way, and it didn't. A Korbinian Holzer defensive play on a 2-on-1 led to a goal. They climbed back in the game, and for the most part, they did a really good job on Sidney Crosby. And we mentioned it on the broadcast, and Sid and I had a conversation post-game, and he said there wasn't much room out there. I mean, every time I got the puck, someone was in my face. Those are some good signs. Good enough to get a point, not good enough to get two against a really good team.
Glenn, what grade do you give Bernier?
C. Because and you know, his game, there's certain goalies you know right away, okay, you're not beating him tonight. With Bernier, he seems to stick his toe in the water each and every game. Too many early goals, and this Leaf team can't continually fight back into hockey games, especially against teams like Pittsburgh. I mean, that's a bullet you escaped last night. So I'd like to see a better start and have the team believe in him. But when the game was on the line yesterday and it was 3-3, he made some significant saves.
Yeah.
So you give him an A in the third period, you give him a B in the second and a D in the first. Because, you know, when you break the game down, it was a lot of Toronto in the first, and yet Pittsburgh's up 2-0. Go figure. But if he wants that starting job, and I think they're going to give it to him, then take it and run with it and start each game the way Cujo started each game, the way Belfour started each game, the way Mike Richter did when I played with him, where as a backup, I knew I wasn't going in. And I think I looked at Reimer at the end of the first last night and thought, you better do a little stretching. This could get ugly. It didn't, but it could have.
Well, is he the guy?
Well, the other guy isn't. There have been three major collapses in this city. One was the 18-wheeler, and that cost a coach's job. One was the Boston collapse with 11 minutes left. That cost me a fun playoff. And the other was the one last year when Bernier got hurt. And all three have the same commonality.
Number 34. Yeah.
So I think you've got to make your decision pretty darn quick here. I think they have. And if I could trade Reimer, I would. I need the cap space. And I'm not going to play him a whole lot because, you know, you're sitting not comfortably in a playoff spot, probably where you thought they'd be, but they are going to be in a scramble all the way down to the end to see if they get in.
Has Bernier's play inhibited the Leafs from making that move? trading Reimer.
Probably, but I think you've got to kind of get to know the athlete a little bit. And I think Bernier, to me, is one of those guys who feels he's deserving of the number one job, thinks it should be handed to him, and thinks that, okay, enough of this back and forth, musical chairs, the music stops, I don't have a seat. Give me the job, let me have it. I had that conversation with Marc-Andre Fleury last night where he knows Greisser's not playing. He knows Marc-Andre's playing every game that he wants to play or physically is able to play. And if he has a bad game, the conversation went something like this. If I have a bad game, I'm back the next night. I can get it back. Mm. And that confidence you have as a starter, I think for sure it plays on you a little bit. You lose the net. Like, you know, there's the conversation would have been if they had lost outright. Who starts against Washington? Now, I think we're pretty comfortable in thinking that Reimer will not start against Washington. It'll be Bernier. But, you know, a week ago when it was Buffalo and you threw it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Super Reimer in the net. Why? That's a Buffalo team you should have throttled. And you could have, and you didn't.
Well, the only reason you didn't is because the analytics world tells you that goaltenders can't play back-to-backs anymore. And you know that as well as I do. I agree with them, but that's what they tell you.
Trust me, if Glenn Healy could play back-to-backs with the fitness regime I had, okay, these guys could play four and five.
But it's no different as Major League Baseball. There's no such thing as a four-man rotation anymore. I mean, it seems to have changed. The whole psyche of that type of thing in sport seems to have changed.
I'm not buying it, though.
Well, I'm not either.
I'm not buying it.
No, I'm not suggesting that I'm selling it. I'm just saying that's a fact.
Glenn Hall played how many, Johnny?
502.
There we go. I made up some magical number on the air one night. It was like 507 or something. Yeah. But 502.
Glenn wanted paid for the extra five games.
And we know what his fitness regime was like.
Yes.
And he was doing it on trains, planes, and buses.
Oh.
So I believe the guys, they've never been in better shape. And if you're telling me that you can't go 90 minutes down the road to Buffalo and play and then drive back home to Toronto, you're nuts. You absolutely can do it, and the athlete wants to do it. And Sidney Crosby, if he can play 26 minutes a night, he wants 28. Give me 30.
Yeah.
That's the way these guys are driven. The guys that are winners, anyways.
Actually, speaking of Sidney and the Penguins, where do you rate them in the Eastern Conference?
I like them. And the thing that I like about them, and I'm not going to get into X's and O's because it is that's a bunch of garbage. It's where they are between their ears. And there has been a distinct change in that hockey market from last year. You know, they had a game in Toronto on a Saturday night that they won, and Toronto went into a full city panic. And they stayed Saturday night, they stayed Sunday night, and they left Monday. Had their rookie party and enjoyed themselves, and Toronto's a great city to stay and enjoy yourself. They had a game in New York City, they didn't go back, they stayed for another couple days. Mm-hmm. Again, building up that kind of team camaraderie where, you know, Blake Como, who had a great game last night, gets to know Sidney Crosby and gets to hang out with Gino, and they've really kind of developed that. And they're more kind of hockey guys. Like Rutherford's a hockey guy. Tockett's a hockey guy. And the coach is one of those, you know, kind of new age guys who hasn't coached for long, but boy, he likes his players and he's a player's coach.
New age guy is my age.
Well, this is his first crack at it. But he sympathizes with today's player. He's not coaching like it's the 80s, where some guys do that. And I just like where they're at. I think they like their team. I think they feel good about themselves. They had fun in the locker room. They had an optional practice yesterday. Sidney Crosby was on the ice. How many Gretzky optional practices do you think I took part in?
Yeah.
He wasn't out for an optional ever. So that's kind of where they're at, and I do like their team. They're good at home. And anytime they have any bit of adversity, and they've had a couple games this year, they've been stinkers, they bounce right back. They played terrible against the Islanders. They bounced right back against Boston. So they're one of the elite.
Well, an interesting team. I mean, change the coach, change the general manager. And some would have said, well, it's not really broken. And they are obviously responding.
Well, that's the expectation of that city, which is we want another cup. We don't want to get a playoff game. And when you're up 3-1 against New York Rangers, arguably if Martin St. Louis' mom doesn't pass away and that's not the torch the team carries, that series is probably over.
Mm-hmm.
Cruel to say, but that was the mantra that the Rangers kind of hung their hat on when he showed up for Game 5 and no one thought he was going to even come. And they flew him in on a private jet. And the team looked around and said, if he's here to play, then we better be here to play with him. And they did.
Before we forget, I want to get back to Reimer real quickly. Do you have any thoughts as to where who might be interested? I mean, Edmonton maybe, but...
You know, that if you watch that market and that team, it is an upgrade for sure from what they have. You know, you feel for... I feel for Dallas Eakins. I mean, he can't get a save out of his goalies. It's 6-0, 3 minutes into the second period. People are leaving already.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the first shot on net from center, it's in. Really? How many days did you prepare for this game for? And the shot from center went in? So it would be an upgrade. And you'd have a team that definitely would be willing to make a move.
Is there anybody else comes to mind?
Not right now. And the market in the summer was pretty narrow. And when Marty Brodeur can't find work, and he's lucky enough to maybe have a chance now, but when he has to wait till December to find work, then you know it's a pretty slim market.
Well, that's why I'm wondering whether there's a move out there for them. If it's not Edmonton, and that's the only team that kind of jumps at me. I mean, you know.
And if I'm Edmonton, I'm not trading for Reimer. So that's me. I'm not trading for him.
Yeah.
You don't think he's the guy?
No.
It certainly isn't a major upgrade, but it is an upgrade over the two that they have.
Yeah, but...
I think if you played them both at the same time,
I'm Edmonton, I'm not trading for James Reimer.
The bottom line, it's a very slim market. There's not much there. The window has been closed. There probably was a window that was there. And there's a reason that the first day that Dave Nonis took over, he made a phone call to L.A. and said, what about this Bernier guy? Can we get him? There's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm. When Leo Komarov went to the KHL, I didn't pay that much attention. I thought he was an okay player, but... not much more than that. Obviously, they saw something I didn't see. Tell us about him, you know, from ice level, where you see him from.
He's a funny cat. Speaks to nobody. We saw him speaking to Malkin last night. We actually had to film it because I couldn't believe it. He speaks, but he plays with such an edge, and he doesn't care what anybody says to him or about him. Because he gets chirped a lot. When you play that kind of style, you don't make a lot of friends in the other team.
Right.
There's a lot of that going on with him. Doesn't bother him one bit. Last night he hurt his hand and spent most of the off shifts with an ice bag on his hand. And yet it didn't in any way affect his play. He didn't say, oh, tonight's not my night. You know, my hand's sore. He just kept going. And I think the KHL experience and the Olympic experience were good for him because, KHL, as much as we criticize it, and it kind of is a different league, there's a lot of skill in that league, and there's a lot of big ice surfaces, and you've got to be able to play with the puck, and I think the year there really helped him. But he is a much more complete player now than he was a couple years ago when didn't want a blade on his stick and just wanted to, you know, bowling for dollars and was going to run people over. He's different, and the point totals indicate it.
By the way, when he does speak, he speaks five languages. He all last season when you sat with people inside the Maple Leaf organization, and Bob, you and I talked about this on the show one night, they constantly said through the whole year, gosh, we miss Leo Komarov. We miss Leo Komarov. We missed that
guy. I didn't get it.
Well,
I didn't get it at all.
Do you get it now?
Oh, sure.
Okay, good.
Because there are people that lead teams with words. There are people that lead teams with actions, and I'm going to lead by actions. Follow me. I'm going to play this way. I'm going to play hurt. I'm going to play hard. I'm never going to take a shift off, and that becomes contagious. That's that phrase we heard in the summer, lead people into battle, so to speak, and he does.
And change the culture was the other thing we heard.
Yeah, we've changed the culture in this team 15 times in 4 years, though. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That C word is a bad one to use.
What else is on your alleged mind today?
I think life's pretty good. We're seeing some great games. You know, you got Brad Tree living on. I mean, what a story that is.
Yeah.
I heard you speaking about their team. They've got great goaltending. There's the first thing. He's won five games for them. Four good mobile defense, maybe three and a half, and some electrifying forwards that when they want to play, they can play and they can score. But they believe in, you know, Hartley has them going in the right way. You know, when they ride their bikes at the end of games, as each team does now, you know, they all put on that T-shirt that, you know, where it's not to be given, it's to be earned. And that's what it is with their team. They sit players out that, you know, Johnny Jockey got sat out and Weidman got sat out. That's somewhat unique, but they make people accountable. And it's a real good story in the West.
Talk a bit about San Jose. Are they a candidate to make some major changes?
Oh, yeah. I think they've been thinking about making these changes for so long. When you strip a guy of the C, when you question your coach, when the GM gets questioned, you know management is under fire. You know ownership is under fire. And, you know, I think if McClellan ever was to get fired, there's Edmonton's next coach, in my mind. But they have to have some results here. The team has just been too good every year till April not to be better. When you were up on L.A. like you were last year, not to close it out, you know everyone's thinking everything.
Yeah, you know, they seem to be one of those teams that plays down to the talent of the opposition. Somebody told me yesterday an interesting stat. They have played their last 24 games against Buffalo, Florida, and Carolina. Guess how many games they have won in regulation of those 24 games against those three teams? Buffalo, Florida, and Carolina. Guess how many games they've won in regulation?
I'm going to say 6.
3. They've won 3 of 24 games against those 3 non-playoff teams.
Yeah, and that is, you know, Joe Thornton's MO is, you know, he's a regular season numbers, tremendous. But he loves to play the game at his speed.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to slow it down. He's got great hands. His hands make you move to places that you shouldn't go. But he plays one gear, one speed, 98.6 is the temperature. And there are games when the temperature goes up and you've got to play at a different speed. And the game that comes to mind to me was the Stanley Cup deciding game with the Martinez goal. You know, I watched that game, and I haven't seen a better one in years.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, there were a lot of players in the NHL that are good players, but not many could have played in that game. The speed was off the charts, and it never slowed down through all of the extra time. And that would be Joe's biggest knock, and maybe that's their team's biggest knock.
Well, let me ask you this, though, and I'm not making excuses for the Sharks. They've played 24 games, 8 games at home. They played 16 games on the road already.
Yeah, and that's a valid, really valid point.
And literally, they have had 2 full practices now in the last 15 days. That's got to be a fact, and they're not as old a team as people think they are. I mean, they've got a couple of old guys, but they got a ton of young guys. They got the Thomas Hurdles of the world are on this team, and Wingles, and they're a lot younger than most people realize. And I think they're a team in transition. I don't think they're as bad as everybody's painting them to be.
Well, here's what I would say about that, and the road stuff. Certainly, it's much more difficult to play on the road than at home, but I look at that team with the talent they have, and I would think to myself, I think Joe Thornton gives a rat's ass about any matchup that's against him. I'm sure he thinks he can play against anybody, anytime, any place.
Maybe he should start.
And certainly. And Little Joe, same thing.
Yeah.
You know, they've got the players that, you know, when you play them, you are way more concerned about the matchup than they are. And the practice stuff, you know, Johnny, the one thing I find at almost every rink we stick our nose in and talk to new coaches that we haven't seen, they all have the same complaint. We never practice.
Mm.
You know, with the way the CBA is with, you know, when you can practice, if you land past a certain time, you can't. You have to give mandatory days off.
Mm-hmm.
Those have to be in well in advance. Every team's in the same soup. They just don't get to practice. And that's the common complaint from most teams. So I don't buy their excuse. I think they need to get some results.
Which is more surprising to you, San Jose's performance or Dallas's?
San Jose's. Dallas, I kind of expect. You know, Johnny and I had this conversation preseason, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well, you actually picked Dallas.
No, I didn't like Dallas. I had him out.
No, hold on. Get the tape.
And there were a lot of people who had him in.
I picked Minnesota. You picked Dallas.
I didn't like Dallas either. But that being said,
well, they're both out of the playoffs right now.
No, Minnesota's going to be there. Minnesota's going to be there.
Yeah, they. You know, it all comes down in this league to goaltending and playing without the puck, and then it gets fun to play with the puck and playing the game the right way. If I've heard that once, I've heard it 3,000 times.
Well,
but you've never been like that, Bob Cagan, on your show. You've never done your show the right way. You've done it your way, and look at the success.
don't know what the hell that means, John.
No, neither do I.
Do you have any idea where that came from?
No, I think I'm
coded.
I think it might have been a compliment, but I'm not sure.
It's kind of a Scottish compliment.
Oh yeah, well that's
half,
an
half compliment and half backhand.
That is the second oxymoron we've had this hour. Good Brussels sprouts and a Scottish compliment. You know.
Well,
be like a good Scottish song. They don't write them.
Are there Scottish songs? What's name five Scottish songs?
Oh,
well, they have the one where everyone gets together and they start singing about, you know, 100 dead people washed upon the shore, and the bar yells more, more. And then the singer says 110 dead people washed upon the shore. That's kind of the way we do it there.
That's the kind of the way you roll over there.
That's how we roll.
Hey, the senators announced today the Daniel Alfredson event for December the 4th. He's going to come home to retire.
Did Eugene know about this?
Pardon me?
Did Eugene know about this?
Eugene actually tweeted it.
Wow.
I'm not sure. Yeah. Eugene tweeted it. Alfie's tweeted it. So December the 4th, Alfredson becomes a senator again and then retires. So I would assume that's how it's going to be handled all day. But where do you think the legacy of Alfredson in the last 18 months is?
Well, he never should have left, period. And I know there were some complaints about term and contracts, and look what I made my last year, and so I think I should be compensated a little bit more for the following year. Well, guess what? You made a ton of money at the beginning of the deal. That's why you had a back-diving deal. So, you know, certain players should just stay on a certain team and retire on a certain team and end their legacy and their career the right way. And he didn't. He shuffled off to Detroit. And, you know, when he proclaims that they have a better chance of winning, oh, like you're just, your fan base is saying, why? You know, you're a Benedict Arnold to us. But that being said, he's loved there.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. He is the face of that franchise. He took him to the Stanley Cup final, and he should get his sweater in the rafters, and he will, and it's the way it should end. And we'll just forget about the little 18 months in the middle.
Can I go ahead?
What's the delay in Hall of Fame in the NHL?
3 years.
3 years?
Yeah, 3 years. Can I assume then you feel the same way about Marty Brodeur practicing with the Blues tomorrow?
Yeah. Because I don't think that's going to end the way he wants it to end.
No.
And you know, Mark Messier, I don't know if he should have been a Vancouver Canuck. He should have stayed as a New York Ranger. Because that's where he's a hero. That's where his sweater hangs. And, you know, maybe even a guy like Gretz. I mean, I'm glad he went to L.A. and a couple other spots in between. But you look at Gretz, and I don't think of him as a St. Louis Blue. He's an Edmonton Oiler. I don't think of him even as a New York Ranger, and I played with him.
Do you think Marty gets signed by St. Louis?
I think it depends on the significance of that injury. The one thing about Marty, he's a really slow starter. And when you're 42, I mean, just even starting
today is
tough. I don't know how it's going to go out playing against teams in the West. If he played in the East, I'd be more of a believer because I think there's so many dreadful teams in the East. But not in the West. If you're going to win a game in the West, you better have stellar goaltending because there's no easy nights. What's your easy night in the West? Who's the easy? Edmonton. There you go. You have one easy team. Even if you say Colorado. Colorado's, their top six forwards are dynamite. They're just the most dangerous team in both.
Well, they've got the same issue that Edmonton has. Yeah. Their goaltending hasn't gone up to performance it did last year.
But that's a tough task to ask. But then you could also make the argument that under Hitch, with that system they play, maybe that's more like the New Jersey style.
Mm-hmm.
He might fit right in. But, you know, it is tough to say goodbye to the game. You know, I was 40 when I said, well, actually, I didn't say goodbye to the game. The Leafs said goodbye to me for it. But, you know, at 36, I knew I was done. Objects in the mirror were closer than they appeared. They had guys chasing me down all over the place. But you do have a point where you think about retiring maybe at the end of the year. I was at the point where I thought about retiring every shift I played. This is it. I can't do this anymore. I'm sure Marty's going to be there at some point. With a couple practices, he'll be thinking, is this really what I want? But for now, it's what he wants.
We'll find out soon enough, I would imagine. I don't think it's going to take a long time for them to make any kind of decision.
No.
Mr. Healy, always a pleasure.
Good stuff, gang.
Thanks, pal.
Glad to be on.
Glenn Healy of the NHL on Sportsnet. What do you think of Brodeur in St. Louis?
I don't get it. I would have, you know, I'm a traditionalist. I would love to have seen finish a record-breaking Hall of Fame career with the New Jersey Devils at the age of 41. I don't know how the Blues are going to do it. You know, the money they pay him is going to, because he's over 35, has to be guaranteed. I don't think he'll ever go to the minors. if Elliott,
I can't imagine
back.
That.
If somebody walks out tomorrow and says, by the way, Brian Elliott's done for the season, then it's not a bad situation. But that's not what people are talking about. They're talking about a week-to-week situation right now with Brian Elliott. Is Brodeur going to play for 4 or 5 days until they actually know the diagnosis of Elliott, and then we're going to figure out what's going on? I don't understand it. If they have to sign him, and do they have to keep him on the roster for the whole year? I really don't understand it. They don't have a good – their minor league goaltender, Jordan Binnington, who played an Owen Sound of the OHL, he's just not ready yet to be a National Hockey League.
Right.
So they do need to go out and find somebody. You know, maybe James Reimer would have been a good answer as a backup goaltender in St. Louis at some point. But, you know, and the Brodeur thing, well, I don't understand it. I must admit, I don't really.
Do you think he stays?
No, I don't. I think at 5 days he walks away. After 5 days.
He walks away?
Well,
he makes the decision, or they make the decision?
I think in the end it will look like he made the decision. One way or the other, he will make the decision, you know what, I'm done.
And retires.
Or waits for another team.
Well, that's the other question.
You know, I mean, the one thing he does do is he goes and practices with an NHL team now as opposed to practicing with Gatineau in the Quebec League, and can prove to people he can still move. I mean, nobody's seen him recently. What kind of shape is he in? You know, there's lots of questions, tons of questions about Marty Brodeur. And it wasn't as if he was playing a simple style of goaltending. He's not a butterfly guy. He's not a stand-up guy. He's a little bit of that hybrid that he has to move. I don't really get it. I didn't really understand it. But at the same time, it's Martin Brodeur.
Well, what do you do when the other guy comes back?
Well, but nobody. I don't think Doug Armstrong and Ken Hitchcock know when Brian Elliott's coming back yet. You know. What we did see when he went off the ice, when Elliott went off the ice, he knew something was very wrong.
Right.
I mean, he walked right to the room. He threw his stick down the hall. He was very angry. So he knew he had popped something. How severe that is, I suspect we'll know early next week, which seems to coincide with the timeline that both Brodeur's people and the Blues are saying, he's going to be with us for 4 or 5 days and then we'll make a decision.
We'll make a decision, yeah. The decision probably will be made for them.
Perhaps.
We'll take the break. When we come back, the general manager of the Calgary Flames, the surprise story in the National Hockey League this year. That's when Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan.
Let's go.
Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand.
Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We're only making plans for Nigel.
24 before the hour, this is Primetime Sports Coast to Coast on the Sportsnet radio and television networks, Canada's most listened to sports talk show. Bob McCowan, John Shannon, in our Toronto studios. So last night, the Calgary Flames go into San Jose and beat the San Jose's 2-0.
2-0, sir. And Yuri Hudler with 2 goals, an empty netter, and a nice little play between he and TJ Brody.
They get on an airplane afterwards and fly down to Phoenix, where they play on Saturday. So they get U.S. Thanksgiving in Phoenix.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
Which is interesting for our next guest, Brad Treliving, who spent how many years in Phoenix?
5 or 6, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Here's the general manager of the Flames, Brad Treliving. 5 or 6 years in Phoenix, Brad?
It was 7, Bob.
7?
And he just missed it by a year.
Well, 7 that's pretty years. Good for me, Brad.
Yeah, that's not bad. So it's good to be back, and I'm not going to lie, it's not bad being back in the sun for a couple days.
So did you take the family down for the you know, extra few days, you know, enjoy the weather?
No, it's a work trip, Bob. you can't, you know, it's, we're working.
Really?
Here, so,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. That.
How'd that fly at home?
She's not listening, is she? So,
well, we'll talk quietly.
What hole are you calling us from, though? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
No, I actually I got a nice invitation from Sean Burke.
There you go.
To come over and steal some of his turkey. So we're going to do that later on.
I got a whole bunch of questions. And I know you do this all the time in Calgary and talk about this team. But I mean, just in general terms, could you see anything like this happening? Honestly, at the beginning, you know, not just when you took the job, after you got there for a while and tinkered a bit with it, did you see this? Could you say, hey, there might be something here. This might not be, you know, a rip down rebuild kind of thing.
To be honest with you, Bob, for anybody to think that, you know, in the summer or even prior to the season that they would predict, me included, that we would sit where we're sitting after 22, 23 games or whatever it is, I think that's, you know, somebody stretching the truth a little bit. So,
right.
I mean, I came in and, you know, I think the assessment was there was some good young players. First of all, there was a really, and it took a very short period of time to realize there was a really, really, really good captain on this team. Not only in what he does on the ice, but, you know, setting the culture and setting the bar in terms of how the work is going to get done on a daily basis. I've been very impressed with the job the coach has done. And I think, you know, the team got a lot of rave reviews, how they finished last year. I think it's a direct result of Bob Hartley and his staff. And then I knew there were some kids. There were some kids at varying degrees in terms of their maturity and experience. And, you know, we thought if we could just strengthen the goaltending, and that's not necessarily an indictment on Kari, but just add some depth there, if you would, to give us some stability that, you know, we had a chance to kind of give ourselves a little bit of a chance. But no, their play, no question, has exceeded my expectation coming in here. That's to be honest with you.
What did you know about Hartley before you got there?
Not a lot. To be perfectly honest, I didn't know a lot. I knew, you know, obviously he was a very experienced coach. The one thing I knew about Bob coming in is he had won everywhere. You know, if you look back at Bob, you know, it's not only at the NHL level, but, you know, you go back, he'd won a Calder Cup. He'd had success at Major Junior A. You know, he's had a lot of success. And, you know, with all the great teams he had, a lot of the, you know, when I came in, a lot of the work I did, just sort of digging around on Bob a little bit just to familiarize myself. And when you really look at it, one of the most remarkable jobs he did, I thought, was in Atlanta. Yeah, he won a Stanley Cup in Colorado. And very few guys get to do that. But, you know, if you really dig in and see some of the where that team went to under Bob in terms of Atlanta, that was impressive. And to me, it sort of drew parallels of, I guess, closer parallels of where I thought maybe our group was at in terms of their development curve. But didn't know a whole lot. Met when I got here and have been thoroughly impressed ever since.
The other part of this, Brad, and you talk about the start of the season, but you've done it without three centers. when you think Michael Backlund, who had surgery yesterday, Joel Colburn hasn't been there, Matt Stajan hasn't been there. So you've put a lot of kids in place, even more kids than you expected to. And that is another factor. And then when you consider your first-round pick, Sam Bennett, who was on the cusp of making the team, was injured in one of the last preseason games.
Yeah, and you can put Mason Raymond, who at the time of getting injured was our leading scorer. Yeah, it's you know, it's not necessarily how you draw it up, but you kind of start and then let's see if we can get six guys off on the IR to start the season and see how that goes. But, you know, it's again, it's a testament to the coaches. who not only have prepared, you know, and come each night with the game plan, but, you know, they're not, they don't hide these kids. You know, it's not like he's going in and trying, and they're coaching them all the time. I mean, he's, Bob's a teacher. You know, at the end of the day, as I've watched him, been around him, he pushes, he's very detailed. But I think in the truest sense, he's a teacher. He loves to teach the game. And the kid, you know, these younger guys have responded. Now, having said all that, we also don't want to get ahead of ourselves, and we know it's been a good start, and, you know, but now we're, you know, we have to continue to push forward here. And, that great story of the start is, you know, now you get into games 24, 25 and beyond, you're past the start. We know the games are going to get harder and all those types of things, but they're a fun group to be around. They're a fun group to get, and they're a pretty resilient group.
What is the latest with Sam Bennett?
Sam is in Calgary. He came back probably about 3 weeks ago, month ago, and he's been doing his rehab there with under the watchful eye of our medical staff and strength and conditioning coach. So it's right now, John, there's no time frame. I mean, you'd look at Sam, you'd think he's fine. He's, you know, the one benefit of all this is he's really getting a lot of time with our strength and conditioning people, and you know, he's putting in a lot of hours and a lot of work in terms of, you know, not only his rehab for the surgery, but also just overall strength. So, you know, as we get into January, probably as we get into December, you know, mid part of December, probably at that time, we'll have a little bit better idea of starting to target, okay, when, you know, when is he going to be back and, you know, playing. But I'll tell you, you know, Sam's the kind of guy, there's some of these guys you have to kind of kick in the rear. Sam's one of these guys you have to pull back. You asked him, he thinks he's ready now. But we're going to be very cautious and take our time and make sure that, you know, he heals completely. And when he's back, he's, you know, that he's over this issue.
And no chance of the World Juniors?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because of injury or because of your decision? You just don't want him?
No, injury, there. Bob. He's going to be, at the time of the surgery, it was, you know, they're saying it's at a minimum of 4 months, mm-hmm. Probably closer to five, and he had it the first part of October, so that's going to rule him out.
You made an interesting statement in a conversation recently with somebody. You said, you know, the first 15 to 20 games of the season, the real good teams kind of are finding themselves, what have they got? And after that point, they start to turn it on. Are you comfortable now that your team can compete for the balance of the season with these guys?
Well, that's a good question. I think that what I think really does happen, I think you get into the first part of the season, and regardless of the teams, I think all teams sort of go through that. Because even, you know, you look at a Stanley Cup champion, there's changes on all teams. So even that top team, you know, they take time. You know, they've played till the middle of June, you know, and it sometimes takes a while for those teams just to kind of integrate new people and, you know, quite frankly, get serious. You know, the rest of us sort of get all hot and excited at the beginning of the year, and these guys are just, you know, they're just sort of getting ramped up again. So what I like about our team, Bob, is we're resilient. The stages thus far, and usually coming to California is a pretty good one when you play those teams. It hasn't been too much for our guys. Like, you know, when you
watch, not so far. Yeah, I do.
And it hasn't been. Now, having said all that, it's going to get way harder. I mean, it's going to the league gets harder each week, and so we'll see. You know, we come from. I really enjoy being around this group. I love how they compete. I love how they prepare. I know we've got great leadership, and we'll see. You know, we've got lots of hockey left to go here, but you know, I certainly do like this group, and I think as we go forward here, the one thing that they won't cheat us on is a whole lot of try and a whole lot of effort every night. And you do that and get a little bit of goaltending, you know, you give yourself a chance.
Yeah, you do.
A lot of goaltending. And both your guys, I mean, when you talked about Kari Ramo basically giving up the number one spot to Hiller, I mean, Ramo's coming again like last night in the second game of the back-to-back. Ramo was outstanding. I mean, he was very good. I loved in the interview after the game when he admitted that he liked beating another fellow Finn at the other end of the ice. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that was funny. He was, and you're right, it's sort of been like Jonas, you know, probably Jonas grabbed a hold of it a little bit. You know, Bob been alternating, but Jonas, you know, probably most recently sort of grabbed it for a period of time. And then, you know, I think that Kari, you know, based on last night's performance, you know, he's jumping back in it. So that's sort of coming into this. We didn't say we've got a number one and a backup. And when Jonas came here, that was, again, as I said earlier, this was no indictment on Kari. We just thought we gave ourselves a good chance. We had a chance to have some stability in the net. And that's both of them sort of pushing each other. And hopefully, you know, we just need one to get hot 82 nights a year. That's not much to ask, you know. So
you were glowing earlier in the interview about Mark Giordano, but his defensive partner, TJ Brody, who one of your biggest moves so far this season was to sign him to a long-term deal. Did you know Brody was this good when you took the job?
No, I'll be honest, no. I thought he was – I liked him. I really liked him as a player. I thought he was – you know, thought he was, he had all the assets you need to play the position, you know, in today's game, which is a brain and legs. And, you know, to me, it's all about the less time you spend in your end, then the less you have to defend. He can go back and get pucks, but I'd be lying if I said, I thought, I had a conversation with his agent early in the summer and said, you know, like this guy, you know, let's maybe have a conversation. Let me get to know him a little bit. And I watched him play a couple games and then probably showed my hand when I phoned back very quickly and said, yeah, let's not wait too long here. Might as well get something done. I think he's still scratching the surface here. I think there's still, you know, but I think Gio's been great for him in terms of, you know, providing that stability, but TJ's been great. And the one thing I find with him is, and he did it again last night, John, I know you saw, like he passes the puck on his back end as well as anybody I've seen in a long time. You know, he makes a lot of plays across the width of the ice on his back end, made a nice play on last night's goal. But, you know, yeah, he's a good one. He's a real good one. And, you know, that pair, we rely on them a lot. We rely on them to play against the other team's top lines. They play heavy minutes. They play in both specialty teams. So they've been great for us.
Well, it's been quite an extraordinary start. I mean, it's more than a start now. You're a third of the way through the season, almost a third of the way through the season. You're more than a quarter through the season. Congratulations so far. Good luck on Saturday night against Phoenix. Don't eat too much turkey, and thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, Robert, and good talking to you, John. We'll see you guys soon.
See you, Brad.
Brad Treliving, general manager of the Calgary Flames in Phoenix, the family.
He talks that'll go over well. He talks about Giordani and Brody. I tell you what, Bob, if they did a Norris Trophy finalist group right now, he might have two. These two guys are two of the best defensemen in hockey, period. And if they played in a big media market, we would be hearing so much more about it. If they played in New York, we'd be hearing tons. If they played here in Toronto, tons. Montreal, tons. But they play in Calgary, and they're still getting a lot of accolades. They're very, very good.
Our thanks to Brad Treliving and Glenn Healy for joining us on the program. Thank you to Mr. Shannon for sitting in.
A demand. No, yeah. I'm not here tomorrow.
Well, then there's no demand.
I know.
For you.
I know.
No tomorrow, Sapporo. Gotta go. See you tomorrow.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free.